The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsers, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starr's radio show. Man, we have a great program lined up for you. A lot happening. Congressman Jim Banks is going to be here in just a little while. Also, Peter McCullough, who is our chief scientific officer over at the Wellness Company, is going to drop by. Again, we have a ton happening here. Megan Basham, and you guys know that typically I don't have guests in the first hour of the show. Today, I'm breaking that rule. Megan Basham has a brand new book out, and this is going to be a bombshell book. She is really unveiling and exposing all sorts of corruption within the American church community, and especially among evangelicals. And her new book out today called Shepherds for Sale. And she does a deep dive into how evangelical leaders traded truth for a leftist agenda. It is out today. This is important because what these people have done is just unbelievable. They have literally tried to destroy Donald Trump, and they're using the church to do it. So we'll be talking to her again, how progressives are plotting to take over one of the most powerful voting groups in this country. And she's going to explain all of that coming up. If you know somebody who goes to a church, especially a Baptist church or a non-denominational church, you're going to want to listen coming up at 12:35 Eastern today. So I want to start out with something that happened last night. Dylan, I'm curious, did you hang out with the white dudes for Kamala Harris?
I didn't make it to the call, Todd, sorry.
You didn't make it to the Zoom call.
I was busy.
I was really concerned. So, look, remember President Obama's pajama boy, man-child? Remember pajama boy, ladies and gentlemen? The guy wearing the footy pajamas, sipping the hot cocoa? Oh, it was all the rage back in the day. Well, the white dudes for Kamala Harris Zoom call makes that guy look like Hulk Hogan. That's how wussy this was. I have never seen so many wussified guys. Never in all my life. So they had the white dudes for Kamala Harris Zoom call last night. They said about 200,000 white dudes. And dudes, I would use that term loosely. I think that's fair to say, right? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, even the New York Times called it a bizarre apotheosis. So remember the West Wing? And let me tell you something. Nothing gets the Democrats more giggly. Nothing sends a thrill up their leg more than the West Wing. That is, for them, that is the epitome of how a president should be. Anyway, Bradley Whitford, who was one of the actors on West Wing, described the gathering as, quote, a variety of whiteness, a rainbow of beige. And some of the dudes they had were Adam Shifty Schiff, Pete Buttigieg, little Davy Hogg, remember him? And no, Jeffrey Toobin was not on this Zoom call. I think that was, I mean, even for the wusses, that's just a bridge too far. So anyway, the whole point of this, all of these guys wanting to show their support for Kamala, and these are the guys. Again, you just need to understand what we were looking at here last night. And I took one for the team here, folks. I did. So you basically had a bunch of white guys getting in touch with their feelings. They were sipping the organic smoothies made from the liquefied lawn clippings. You know the type. And so these are the same guys during the BLM riots where a lot of white people went out of their way to publicly confess their whiteness. And they would go up to a black person and beg them for forgiveness as if they had broken one of the Ten Commandments by being born a honky. So those are these dudes. That's who these people are. So when you go back to the RNC, remember Trump had like Dana White and Hulk Hogan? Let me tell you something, brother. Well, let me tell you something, brother. These were girls. These dudes were girls. Kamala Harris had Booty Juice and Adam Shifty Schiff, and it was as horrible as you might imagine. I mean, just horrible. Anyway, it was a toxic masculinity-free zone. Donald Trump described the gathering as cucks for Kamala. Well played, Don Jr. Well played. Oh, by the way, here's little Davy Hogg. He's a little piglet. Cut number 8.
David, let's bring you in. I want to know, you were on a donor call with VP Harris Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us about that, because she was on that call. I believe you asked her a question. And why do you think it's important to be on this one tonight?
I think it's important to show that we aren't just white dudes for Kamala, but also that we're younger white dudes, we're older white dudes, we're people of all ages for Kamala. And I also have to note, too, that this would not have been possible. This was inspired by, you know, following in the footsteps of Black Woman for Kamala, which was one of the first calls that was set up. And I was on that National Finance Committee call earlier, and I can just say that the vice president is fired up. Young people are fired up. People of all ages are fired up, and they're donating. Just after it was announced that the vice president was going to become the nominee, I set out a challenge to people to raise $100,000 on Twitter in 1 hour for the vice president. And not only did we do that, we ended up raising about $345,000 to support the vice president from over 6,000 people around the country. So people are fired up, and we're ready to be out there.
Yeah, they're not raising that much money. They're not, folks. This is all, it is all a farce, and they're trying to gin up this support. But they spent most of the call, and again, these guys don't seem to understand. They are members of a political party where they are no longer welcome. I mean, white men in the Democrat Party have been ostracized, and they may not get it. Cut number 13, please.
And that happens at the same time as the myths around America that we grew up with, that we as men are expected to be protectors and providers, are going out into an economy that doesn't really allow for that, especially for working class folks. And sort of like compounding on that, you know, masculinity as a trope has been co-opted by the MAGA right into something that feeds into and exacerbates the loneliness epidemic, as well as the mental health crisis that many face that end up leading to really destructive behaviors. We aren't the only ones that are hurt by these things. Black and brown people, LGBTQIA plus people, especially trans women and indigenous people, and, you know, all sorts of other folks in our society who've been historically and often still today are marginalized and being hurt, demonized, and marginalized even further.
All right, so here's the deal. That guy doesn't eat red meat. I just want to make that known to you. You can take that for whatever it's worth. Again, this all goes back to the Democrat Party demasculized that they want to emasculate men. And that was really the whole point of this conversation last night, is they wanted to emasculate men. And nobody said it better than little Dougie Emhoff. He's the second dude. And he explains, and really, I guess, trying to bolster his manliness, he explains what he was doing when Biden announced he was dropping out of the race. Cut 7.
My flight got canceled. Like, I'm sorry. I had another free morning in L.A. that Sunday. And I thought I'd just go to an exercise cycling class with some friends of mine. I left my phone in the car with the detail. We were there for 20 minutes or so, and all of a sudden, one of the friends shows me his phone and said, I think you need to look at this. Like most lawyers, we go right to the end of a document just to see what's facing us. And the last thing, it said, and I will address the nation later in the week. And I thought, okay, well, he's coming out of COVID. Maybe that's... And my friend said, go up one line. And then I said to the guys, we got to go.
All right, there you go. Little Dougie Imhoff. He was at a what is they called? The cycle bar, the spin class in West Hollywood. WeHo. We don't judge here. We just report the facts. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Democrat Party. Those are the men of the Democrat Party. And ladies of America, ladies of the Todd Stearns radio show listening audience, is that the kind of a man you want? Is that the kind of a weaselly kind of spinnowy kind of a guy who just 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So anyway, it's an ugly situation, but this is all Kamala has. I mean, this is it. And it's not going to get any better. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump has broken Fox News Channel. This is just remarkable. Trump was up into the wee hours and he was going off on Fox, and everything he said was accurate. And I want to get to a story that has absolutely nothing to do with politics in a moment to illustrate that point. But Fox has just gone off the reservation here. It's bizarre. So you got to love Senator John Kennedy. He was on Fox News, and Senator Kennedy, he drops those Southern sayings, and it's all very funny. But Neil Cavuto, who got a terminal case of Trump derangement syndrome years ago, and he's not getting any better. He can't. It's terminal. There's no cure. Anyway, I want you to hear what happened when Senator Kennedy called Kamala Harris a ding-dong, cut 25.
Is not a serious person, as I said, that she's a bit of a ding-dong. And number two, that she is a member of the loon wing of the Democratic Party. She's a San Francisco Democrat. She's just like Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, except without the bartending experience.
I'm just wondering, do you worry how that comes across? And maybe you draw no distinction between a female candidate and a male one, and that's fair game. But that this could hurt you with female voters with these type of comments.
Well, let me say it again. The vice president is a candidate for president of the United States. I don't care about her gender. Neil, maybe you do, but I don't. I don't care about her race. I care about her
Then
confidence.
Why call her a ding-dong?
And I'm telling you what the polling shows. I'm telling you what the polling shows. And it does. And I'll be glad to sit down with you and walk you through
please,
the polls.
Please do, because I never know when it's constructed to call people names, you know, Senator. I just, on the left or the right.
I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, but let me say it again.
Senator, you keep bringing it back to my feelings. My feelings matter a little. All I'm telling you is if you think you can gain this November calling people names, I don't know how far that goes, left or right, but we'll see. It's still early, to your point.
Your feelings seem to me like they matter to you a lot, Neil, and I'm trying to be objective here. Let me say it again.
Are you really being objective, Senator? I just think you've got a bash-a-thon of name-calling at her. If you call that being objective, I don't know. But, Senator, I thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me, Neil. I hope you have a better day.
Yeah, so do I. I hope you have a better day. We'll have more.
Well, I hope you have a better day. I got the last word. Does anybody even watch Cavuto? And it's like the show that everybody forgets at Fox. He's kind of like that Spice Girl. The one that everybody forgets, and like AOC and the squad, there's always the one that you just can't remember out of the quartet. That's Neil Cavuto over at Fox. All right, Gisela, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. I do want to hear from the women of the Todd Stearns Show audience today. What kind of a man do you want? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. Today, you have the power to relieve suffering for children throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, these are children who do not have reliable access to the essentials of life, like food or clean water. But today, you can change that. I'm partnering with Food for the Poor to rush emergency food relief to hungry children and to provide a community with access to water. Now, this is a headline that you can do something about. Today, because of a match, your generous gift of $200 provides four children with a year's worth of food and helps a community gain access to fresh water. There are several ways to make your gift. Go to ToddStearns.com and click on the red Give Life banner, or you can call my toll-free number at 855-353-4673. That's ToddStearns.com. Click on the red Give Life banner, or call my toll-free number, 855-353-HOPE. Folks, I don't know about you. The more I hear the Secret Service talk about what happened in Butler County, Pennsylvania, the more enraged I become. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926, our number. So now the acting Secret Service director up on Capitol Hill testifying before a Senate committee that the shooting was a failure of the Secret Service. Now, I will say this about Ronald Rowe Jr., who is the acting Secret Service director. This guy is doing what the previous Secret Service director, Kimberly Cheadle, refused to do, which is to take any responsibility at all. The guy is manning up here to what happened. And he flat out said that it was a failure of the Secret Service and not local law enforcement. He detailed the failure of a drone detection system that was supposed to be online before Matthew Crooks conducted his own recon. Investigators say the drone system was reliant on public cell phone service and that there were bandwidth issues, causing the system to only go online at 5:20 instead of 3 o'clock. Senator Chuck Grassley demanding to know, why is the Secret Service dependent upon a local cellular network? They should have used Patriot Mobile. Guarantee you. So a lot of questions still unknown, but their working theory is this was not some sort of an assassination plot, but that this was honest-to-goodness incompetence. And it does make you wonder, at what point do people rise up and we start seeing heads roll here? I mean, come on, for crying out loud. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. May I confess something to you? All right. Yesterday, I said I wasn't going to watch the Olympics, and I haven't until last night. Somebody sent me a clip. So I didn't watch the Olympics, but I did watch a clip, and I felt a little guilty about it until I watched the clip. And then I realized I may have been wrong-headed yesterday. Now, I know that the perverted pagan opening of the Olympics was horrifying, but why should we punish our great patriotic American young people who are out there and they're representing their country? And I say that because I learned something new yesterday. I had no idea there was something called a pommel horse. Have you heard about this, Dylan? It's apparently a sport.
This is the first time for me, too.
So there's this kid from Worcester, Massachusetts, and he sort of looks like he's like a nerd, right? He describes himself as a nerd.
Got the glasses.
Took the glasses off, went up on that pommel horse and pummeled the pommel? I don't know. He pummeled the heck out of it. Came away with a gold the first time in years that the men have. And that's the only thing the kid does.
He's awesome.
That's it. He knew his job. It was brilliant. And the way the guys were just, it was all about USA. When they went in for the huddle and they're like, on three, USA. You know, it was all about America. And for a moment, it just reminded me that there are still great patriotic kids out there that are out there. And they're doing it for their country. You know, a lot of these kids, you know, they come back from the Olympics. You know, they're only there for their sport. And then they come back home. And then they got to go back to their job. And I don't know what a pommel horse guy does in the off season. But, you know, they may be working down at the, I don't know, the Best Buy or the Super Low. Anyway, good job for you, Stephen Nodorosik. And we're going to play some audio from him What a great American story. All right, hang tight, everybody. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You've asked, and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. And it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long, so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a 6-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25 and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. I got a good laugh. Earlier this morning, I was checking out, pardon me, Megan Basham's Twitter feed. She talked about how she's been on Amazon checking her rankings like all day, all night. Megan Basham is the author of the brand new book. It is out today. It's called Shepherds for Sale. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the second most important book you need to read before Election Day, mine being the first. But this is one you need to have in your library, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. Megan is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Megan, congratulations. Happy book launch day.
Thank you very much, and congratulations to you on your book as well. Just two authors hanging out.
That's just hanging out. All right, tell me what your ranking is on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm a bit addicted now. I'm at 48 right now, Todd.
Yes, you are. I had it pulled up just in case. Congratulations. And I suspect you're going to be number one by the end of this conversation. This is a huge, huge book. You are now public enemy number one among some of the nation's most notorious evangelical leaders, people like Russell Moore and et cetera, et cetera. First of all, how are you dealing with all of the blowback from the book that just came out today?
I'm not really particularly bothered by it. It's been a little bit funny watching some of the ways that they're trying to discredit it by saying things like, well, David French said he started the Dispatch. He helped start it. So that's different than being a co-founder, and just utterly ridiculous, pedantic dissections like that. Then you have people who are outright restating something I say in the book as though it's offensive that I said it out loud. So they're not refuting what I said. They're going, how dare she acknowledge that this was going on? So that kind of thing just really makes me laugh.
I think people, over the past decade or so, people have noticed something was happening in their evangelical churches. It seemed like they were disengaging. Pastors weren't talking about the issues. When did you realize something is not right here?
I think like a lot of people, I started to feel some disquiet right around 2019, maybe. It felt at that point like a positive discussion about race relations and evangelicalism that we saw with movements like the Promise Keepers movement had shifted into something very divisive and dark and different. And that was about when I started to learn what the acronym CRT stood for. And like a lot of people, when I started to learn it, I was very disturbed to see pastors talking about white privilege and saying how all white people are always racist and will always be racist. And there's nothing we can do about that other than consistently try to repent throughout our entire lives. And then 2020 came and we saw how the church handled COVID. And really, I think that exposed so much of the rot, because that combined with the church's response to a lot of false narratives surrounding George Floyd and other issues like that just exposed how deep of a problem we had. And so I started investigating. And what I found is that in a lot of cases, yes, it was sheer compromise, but also in a lot of cases, a lot of left-wing money from people like George Soros, an atheist and an eBay founder, Pierre Omidyar, a Buddhist, was going into evangelical institutions to try to transform them within the from the inside and to co-opt them for progressive priorities.
I think we have to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention, of which I am a member, and I'll never forget years ago, this was back in 2012, I realized something right away. I had written a book about Barack Obama, and the publishing house there at Lifeway, one of the editors called me and said, "You mention Obama more than you mention Jesus." And I said, "Well, because the book is not about Jesus, it's about Barack Obama." And they really took issue and umbrage with, you know, the way I was writing about Barack Obama. And I thought, that's odd. I thought it was just weird. But there was something else going on, and you really do a deep dive, especially into the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah, and you know, there's a number of reasons for that. For those who are not Southern Baptists, I can explain to you why you care about what happens with the Southern Baptists, because it is the largest Protestant denomination, represents about 5% of the entire U.S. population. So if you are left-wing infiltrators who are trying to move evangelicals in order to remove that firewall that they present to the left-wing agenda, Southern Baptists are simply going to give you the most bang for your buck. And that's why all of us need to pay attention to what happens with the Southern Baptists. And then there's also the fact that their seminaries educate a plurality of all ministers and ministry leaders in the country. So you may not be Southern Baptist, but there's a good chance that your pastor or people on your pastoral team went through those Southern Baptist seminaries.
Let's talk about the Southern Baptist Convention. Why was that a focus? I mean, you explained the importance, but what did you discover has been happening within the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, you know, a number of things. Its political lobbying arm, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, has gotten deeply involved with left-wing front groups like the Evangelical Immigration Table, which was founded by a secular left group, the National Immigration Forum. And in fact, it's still a part of that. It's under the National Immigration Forum's umbrella. And that is a secular left funded group, takes money from guys like George Soros and other hard left secular foundations. And so they're involved with groups like that, and they're pushing what I would call amnesty policies. They're pushing lax border policies in the name of Southern Baptists, when Southern Baptists don't have a broad consensus on this view. And you really see that with a number of other topics as well. Gun control, for instance. It's just a consistent pattern of getting involved with some of these left-wing groups to promote priorities that the rank and file in the pews don't agree with.
What's been the ultimate goal here? Is it to disengage these groups from the political process?
I would say it's some of both. So, one, they would prefer to entirely co-opt evangelicals, the same way that we have seen them do with mainline Christians and Catholics. So that's the first goal. But failing that, yes, if they can just suppress their vote then and shame them from participating in civic life in the public sphere, I think they would take that as a win, too. Because, again, evangelicals represent roughly 30% of the electorate. The Atlantic has rightly called them America's most powerful voting bloc. They are overwhelmingly conservative. They're really the only major, the last major religious demographic that is extremely conservative. And so that's why you're seeing this all-out assault to try to blunt their political impact, because they are the firewall.
Was there a moment, you know, when you were doing all this research, and I mean the notes at the end, what, 50 some odd pages? Is that right? That's just huge. What, was there a moment when you said, holy cow?
There were a lot of moments like that. You know, in particular, we brought up what was the tipping point moment for me where I started writing about this. And a lot of that was during COVID, and that was what put me on the map. And one of the things I think was a holy cow moment for me was seeing the record of National Institutes of Health Director Francis Collins, which is abhorrent, to be blunt. There is nothing Christian about it. He has promoted the funding of research on aborted baby parts. He fought the Trump administration to maintain access to fetal parts for experimentation. He funded things like grafting infant scalps onto lab rats. He has proclaimed himself an LGBTQ ally and spearheaded initiatives that included giving cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, transgender surgeries to children. And that's just his record during his regular service at the NIH. If you look at his behavior during the pandemic, we, of course, now know that he and Anthony Fauci covered up vital public information regarding the origins of this virus and the U.S.'s potential involvement in it in funding gain-of-function research. And he used evangelical platforms to lie about these things. And so the big aha moment for me was realizing that so many of these evangelical leaders, like Russell Moore, like Tim Keller, like Rick Warren, like N.T. Wright, they knew his record. They knew it very well, and they didn't care. They misrepresented him as a faithful Christian brother in the halls of power to all of their evangelical audiences. And I think that, for me, was so clarifying, because these were men that I, too, at one time really believed stood on principle, and that told me they absolutely did not.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, again, you know, these individuals initially, when they first came onto the scene, they seemed to be pretty good, pretty conservative. They were certainly following the teachings of the Bible, and just something happened over time. I find it interesting, though, Megan, when you look at how they attacked Donald Trump, they're not doing that to Joe Biden. They're not doing that to Kamala Harris.
Right. Not just that, but you will see them elevate and promote political operatives who work on behalf of Democrats. For example, if you look at someone like Michael Ware, who, if you're not familiar with him, he was a former staffer in the Obama administration. He spearheaded the evangelicals for Biden push in 2020. He was, in fact, head of a political action committee that was dedicated to getting Joe Biden elected, specifically by appealing to faith voters. So you would think someone like that, given the Biden administration's horrific stances on things like abortion and like LGBTQ issues, that he would be persona non grata. And that was not the case. In fact, you saw outlets like Christianity Today and Keller's Gospel Coalition promoting Michael Ware, recommending his work, interviewing him as a faithful voice, just like Francis Collins, in the halls of power. Meanwhile, you would never in a million years see them do that with somebody who worked in the Trump administration, even though the Trump administration's policies broadly aligned with Christian ethics. So I think when you look at that, it's really revealing about what motivates them. And I think we can say that they are motivated by wanting to align with the dominant cultural power centers.
So I'm curious what people of faith can do, especially church members, Southern Baptist as well, again, the nation's largest Protestant non-Catholic denomination. What, they've got your book, what do they do next?
Well, you know, the first thing I would do is put it in the hands of your pastor, because in a lot of cases, I think well-meaning pastors, they don't have the time to look into all of this information themselves. And they get a request from someone that they maybe went to seminary with or who is a friend who asks them to sign their name to some public statement. And they don't really know what's behind it. And they do so. And they don't understand how that statement's going to be used to push for specific legislation. So that's one. Two, when you see this stuff going on, we've really reached a tipping point where we can't ignore it anymore. We can have these conversations respectfully and graciously, but we need to confront it when we see it. And then the big issue is, if you see it going on and you have respectfully called it out and instead you're being rebuffed, I would strongly suggest stop giving your money and your attention to those who are using it to advance aims that have nothing to do with building the kingdom of God.
It's really shocking. And I think what really got me was the amount of hate and vitriol being directed at you by these so-called evangelical leaders on social media. It looks as though there's been some, I may be wrong here, but it just seems to me it looks like there's been a coordinated effort to go after you, to discredit you, and to discredit the book.
Yeah, I would say that appears to be the case to me as well. I was chuckling a little bit because one author who I know somewhat, who is more, I'll politely say squishy, so he's progressive friendly, has been promising something of a of a big negative piece on me. And then he posted a picture of himself on Facebook Friday night with three of the people that I critique in my book, calling them his good friends. So I went, okay, so we're expecting a very non-biased, fair expose here. But it was funny because it was obvious that they were all gathered and were apparently collaborating on what this piece against me would be.
Wow. I remember years ago, Megan, when the ERLC had invited some of the top presidential contenders, among them Hillary Clinton, Mitt Romney, I think Marco Rubio, and one other, to address Southern Baptist through the North American Mission Board. And the one person they did not invite, who was running for the White House at the time, was Southern Baptist Mike Huckabee. And again, it was one of those moments. Now, reading your book, you look back and you go, oh, that's interesting. Well, it kind of makes sense now.
Yeah, that would have been entirely unsurprising to me if it had happened today, though I probably would have been surprised then as well. And I think that just tells you that so much of this is simply about wanting to protect the secular world's perception of them as intellectuals, as the serious evangelicals, and not like those other unwashed red state evangelicals. So to me, so much of this is simply about that. It's about reputation protectionism and not about really caring about what is true and what is good.
Fascinating. Well, Megan, we're going to have to leave it there, but congratulations. I know you've got a busy day. You're going to be with us at 8 o'clock tonight on Newsmax, and looking forward to that conversation as well. Enjoy the day. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right. Megan Basham, everybody, author of this very important book called Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. She exposes all of this, folks. There's something very nefarious going on in churches across America. The left is trying to disengage you from the political process, and Megan exposes it all in this book. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
Fascinating interview with Megan, and I hope you watch us tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, filling in again on Prime News guest hosting, so I hope you watch. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this is day two of the inaugural summer campaign to help rush food and clean drinking water to the poorest of the poor, and we're doing that by partnering with our friends at Food for the Poor, a nonprofit Christian relief agency. 17 nations they provide food for right now and clean water, and they need our help. So we kicked off our campaign yesterday, many of you already opening up your hearts and your wallets to show the love of Christ by helping those less fortunate here in our hemisphere. Here's Ed Rain. He is the CEO of Food for the Poor.
We're so excited. So first of all, let me say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is such an important moment for us to really, you know, bring people together to realize that this is about loving thy neighbor. Anywhere that's got some help, help needed, we are going to respond. This is our domain. We're in 17 countries. These are the countries we're in. This is what we live to support.
And now it's your turn to join us. There is a Give Life banner right now up at ToddStearns.com where you can make a donation. You can also text my name, Todd, to 51555. That's text Todd to 51555, and I will send you a direct link to where you can make a generous gift. Places like Guatemala, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, access to water It's a daily battle. Sometimes young girls have to walk up to an hour just to collect water, and that water is filthy. So your help is needed so these folks can have incredible clean water and food. Your gift of $100 or any amount, $10, $50, $25, it brings hope to the children in crisis. So again, go to ToddStarnes.com, click on the Give Life banner, or you can phone your donation to 855-853-4673. I'll say that again, 855-853-4673. Or if you want to do it the super simple way, get out your phone, text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 51555. All right, hour two of the big show coming up next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Abate. Am I saying your name right?
Yes, Senator. Thank you.
You are the deputy director of the FBI. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
Is there any doubt in your mind or in the collective mind of the FBI that President Trump was shot in the ear by a bullet fired by the assassin crooks?
Senator, there is absolutely no doubt in the FBI's mind, former President Trump was hit with a bullet and wounded in the ear. No doubt there never has been.
Okay.
I've been part of this investigation since the very beginning, and that has never been raised.
You're sure?
Yes.
It wasn't a space laser?
No.
It wasn't a murder hornet?
Absolutely not.
It wasn't Sasquatch?
No, Senator.
It was a bullet.
It was a bullet, Senator. 100%.
Fired by crooks.
Yes, sir.
That hit President Trump in the ear and almost killed him.
100%, Senator.
Okay. Glad we cleared that up.
All right. That was Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana just seconds ago up on Capitol Hill, the Senate hearing underway. And we have some more crazy and disturbing audio we will play a little bit later on. But we now have the FBI, the acting FBI, or rather we have the Secret Service now admitting that the terrorist regime of Iran, and I want to make sure I'm reading this correctly. This is FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate. The terrorist regime of Iran has been targeting people of our country for many years now. We know publicly they have been targeting former President Trump. They called for his assassination. That revelation coming out just moments ago as well. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have Congressman Jim Bakes join us from Indiana's 3rd Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing well, Todd. Good to be with you.
So we've cleared that up, at least with Chris Ray, that President Trump was indeed shot by a bullet, a literal bullet. But this news also coming out that Iran wants to assassinate Donald Trump. Your reaction to this, these revelations?
Well, I mean, this is a revelation that in some ways is to be expected, Todd. Donald Trump was tough on Iran and the Iranian proxy groups. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Democrats have played footsie with Iran for their entire 4 years in the White House. So, of course they don't want Donald Trump back in the White House. I hope the FBI is taking this revelation seriously. I hope that our intelligence community is continuing to investigate any potential links between the assassination attempt and foreign threats on the former president's life. Obviously, all of this is so shocking and needs to be taken more seriously and do everything that we can to make sure something like this never happens again.
Here's what I don't get, Congressman. I mean, and at this point, we don't know if Iran was behind what happened in Butler, PA. I'm sure hopefully the investigation will sort all of that out. But knowing that the FBI knew this, I'm just wondering why there was not a full Secret Service detail there protecting Donald Trump in that big field.
Yeah, so many unanswered questions. I'm glad the Senate hearing is occurring today. I'm glad that the House passed the new select committee on the investigating the assassination attempt that was created last week, and the members were named over the weekend by Speaker Johnson and the minority leader. And I'm glad that there are other efforts as well. What I don't trust, though, is for the Biden administration, the Biden Kamala Harris Department of Justice investigating any of this. There needs to be an independent investigation of many sorts to dig into those questions. And furthermore, I mean, still some of the questions, I haven't watched the full Senate hearing this morning, but the negligence on behalf of the Secret Service in Butler, Pennsylvania, there are way too many unanswered questions. I know the director, she quit in the midst of calls for her firing, but there are other leaders at the Secret Service that have to come forward and tell us the truth about what happened that day. Why decisions were made or were not made that led to this near catastrophic event in Pennsylvania. So much more that we have to dig into.
Senator, I know one of your colleagues from Montana, Ryan Zink, said yesterday on Fox, Maria Bartiromo, suggesting that, you know, it needs to be investigated if there was a plot within the Secret Service. I mean, can we say beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is completely ludicrous, or do we need to actually look at that?
No, we need to look at everything. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt that's possible. I suppose it's possible. I don't know. I don't want to think that is possible.
Me neither.
Everything must be investigated. I mean, that's the whole point here. And the fact that the Democrats, the mainstream media, everyone wants to sweep this under the rug. It only happened 2 weeks ago. They already want to sweep it under the rug. The big tech companies are scrubbing stories and trying to censor what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. The fact that they want this to go away is all the more reason why we need to be investigating it and digging into what happened on that day and leading up to it. How did a nearly 20-year-old kid almost pull off something like this? Todd, like you, I've been around President Trump many times. I've been around the Secret Service many times. This is absurd to think that this attempt was almost that successful, that this gunman, this kid, got that close to President Trump and almost took his life. I mean, there are so many questions about all this that have to be answered, that have yet to be answered in a public hearing or in private investigations, and need to be brought to the light to the American people.
No, you're right about that, Congressman, which is why we need people like you in the Senate. And I know you are making the big switch, running for the U.S. Senate. Was that a big decision for you? I mean, you could be the congressman of the 3rd District for the rest of your life, but you want to serve in the Senate. Why is that?
Well, there's just so much more I can do in the Senate. When my Senator Mike Braun stepped up, said he was running for governor 2 years ago, I went through that difficult decision with my family and talked about running for the Senate. Can we do more for our state and our country in the United States Senate? And, of course, we quickly arrived at that answer that yes, we can do more to save this country as one of 100 senators. And one of the reasons why, Todd, I know you talk about, I'm a listener to your show. You talk about this all the time. We have way too many go along to get along Republicans in the United States Senate that don't fight back against the radicals on the Democrat side. And too often they go along with them. And that's what's been so frustrating to me in the House, serving there for 8 years, 4 years under President Trump, 4 years under the worst president in American history and Joe Biden, that there are way too many squishy go along to get along Republicans in the Senate. So this is, I know you agree, this is no time for wimpy Republicans. This is time to fight back and save this country. And with Donald Trump back in the White House and back up in the United States Senate, that's what we need to be focused on doing.
We have to, Congressman, and I'm so glad. I mean, we're going to miss you in the House, but on the Senate side, you're right. We need that type of ferocity. And again, it's very simple. When folks are campaigning and making promises, deliver on those promises, you know, or at least show that you're working on meeting those promises. And I think that's one of the reasons why President Trump was so successful and endeared himself to people, is that he delivered on a lot of the promises he made to the American people.
Well, that's why they don't want him back. They don't want him back in the White House. They're going to do everything that they can to stop him because they know he was a successful president. He's going to be even more effective in a second term, and I can't wait to serve with him again.
This is just, you know, you step back and it's the irony of what's happening down in Venezuela right now and the people trying to fight for their freedom, the rigged elections down there. And then you see yesterday President Biden announcing, you know what, we're just going to get rid of the Supreme Court as we currently know it. It's wait, what? When did that happen?
Joe Biden was in the United States Senate for a decade before I was even born.
Yes.
And now this guy's calling for term limits on Supreme Court justices. He's never called for term limits on Supreme Court justices until this weekend. I mean, this is a guy that's been involved in politics for a half of a century or more, and now all of a sudden he's arriving at this position, this newfound position for him, because he knows that the Supreme Court is reinstituting our constitutional rights and moving away from the activist Supreme Court that he was used to in much of his time in politics. So because he and the Democrats, Kamala Harris, aren't getting their way, they want term limits on Supreme Court justices. They want to stack the court with liberal Supreme Court justices, expand the size of the Supreme Court to water down what they do. We can't let them get away with it.
Well, Congressman, before we let you go, I've got to give you a chance to plug this very important legislation. I know Senator Tom Cotton is working on this as well. This would terminate any visa and require deportation of any non-citizen convicted of a criminal offense during a protest. Is this as a result of what happened outside of Union Station the other day?
Yeah, that and on college campuses all over America, many of these pro-Hamas protesters are foreign students on student visas coming to our American college campuses and protesting against not just Israel, but these are anti-American protests. So if you destroy property, if you break the law, if you take down American flags and put up pro-Palestine flags or deface our monuments, our history in the United States of America, and you're a foreign citizen here on a visa, we should deport you immediately. Tom Cotton is one of those senators I can't wait to serve with when I get there, and I'm proud to work with Senator Cotton on this initiative.
Well, he's a great guy, and you're going to love my senators from Tennessee, Blackburn and Hagerty, good people as well.
Yes, I'm. Both of them are big supporters of mine. I can't wait to serve with them too.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to let you go. Always appreciate you coming on the program, and thanks for standing up for America.
Have a good day.
All right, Congressman Jim Banks, everybody, out of Indiana's 3rd Congressional District, running for the U.S. Senate, and he is fired up. So we have had 3 elected leaders. I don't know if you've picked up on this over the past 2 shows, ladies and gentlemen, but now 3 members of Congress who say we cannot rule out beyond a shadow of a doubt that there may have been a plot inside the Secret Service to let Trump be exposed like that. Are you paying attention to what's happening in this country, ladies and gentlemen? All right, 901-260-5926. Before we go to break, do we have that audio? All right, I want to play this audio. We mentioned the Iran audio of the accusations that were made. Let's play the deputy FBI director.
What is the nature of the Iran threat, the threat to former President Trump that has been mentioned?
Well, we know that, let me be clear here, the terrorist regime of Iran have been targeting people, our country, for many, many years now. We've talked about that here before. I want to be clear about that. From the FBI standpoint, we know publicly they've targeted former President Trump. They've called for his assassination.
All right, disturbing allegations. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the FBI telling us that they've known for a long time now that the Iranians were trying to take out President Trump. So again, why was President Trump left exposed at that rally? That's the question that has to be answered and addressed, and somebody has to pay the price for that. All right, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
Welcome back. It has been, if you could see what we do during the commercial breaks, there are about a bazillion things. Tonight, by the way, I will be guest hosting Prime News on Newsmax. I am curious, have you guys been enjoying the Newsmax component here? We don't know. They're still looking for a full-time person to host that hour, and we'll see how things go. But it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Bill O'Reilly will be a special guest. Also making his debut in primetime on Newsmax is our very own Ben Dieter. So is he going to shower, Dylan? He is going to shower and comb his hair, wear a tie. He's got to wear a tie. That has to happen. So it's by the way, Megan Basham was going to be back, so you'll be able to see her as well as get more intel on the big new book coming out today. So all that to say, Dylan, it's been a little busy in here today.
I see you in there from across the glass.
So I had no idea, by the way. My church that I go to has a cafe that's like open during, you know, like Monday through Friday, and they do breakfast and whatnot. I had to drop something off at the church today before I came over. Actually, I was bringing my pastor a copy of the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. By the way, Ben Dieter just sent us a very nasty text message. Anyway, so I was going over there, and I thought it's like 140 degrees outside. It's so terribly hot in Memphis. And so I thought, you know what? I don't want to have coffee. I'm going to have some delicious iced tea. So I said, I'd like a large iced tea. The next thing I know, they're handing me a gallon jug of tea with a straw. I'm like, I love Baptist. You know, this is how you do it.
They get it.
They get it. They do. It's true. Hey, coming up a little bit later on, folks, we're going to be talking to a member of the newly formed bipartisan House Task Force to investigate the attempted assassination of President Trump. And I have a question for you. We're going to go to your phone calls in the next segment here. I'm curious, do you fear that this very well could have been an inside plot to take out Donald Trump? That's where all of this is going. I don't want to hit the gas and get us to that point, but that's where all of these investigations, that's where all of these questions are coming. You can't tell me that we did not have a full Secret Service contingent there and it was all intentional. You can't tell me that.
there was, and I know this because when I went to Mar-a-Lago to interview President Trump for my book, I mean, the amount of Secret Service protection that I had to go through just to get to his office was just off the charts. Those guys down at Mar-a-Lago took their responsibilities very seriously. So I'm just, I don't know about you, but I am very curious to know why they would take his normal Secret Service contingent, sideline those guys, and then reassign people, many of whom were not even Secret Service agents, to be in charge of his security at that rally. That makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. Unless there was somebody within the government that was trying to take this man out. And that's what I believe. At the end of the day, I think that's what we're going to discover here. All right, 901-260-5926. By the way, if you have not done so, I want to urge you to head over and get a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Get a copy for your kids. Let them read. We have so much history about the founding of this country in that book. And educate your kids. It's a fun read for them. It's a fast read. And they're going to come away really appreciating and respecting and understanding why America is the most exceptional nation on the planet. You can get a copy, ToddStearns.com, or wherever you buy your books. We'll be right back, folks.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Coming up a little bit later on, Peter McCullough is going to be here. Also, Congressman Dave Joyce from Ohio, named to this bipartisan House Task Force. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, want to say something here about what's happening with J.D. Vance. There is a coordinated effort to take out J.D. Vance, and the media is in on all of this, and they have clearly gotten talking points. And the whole point is to make him out to be some sort of a weird guy. Cut number two.
Some of what he and his running mate are saying, well, it's just plain weird.
These guys are just weird. That's who they are.
As weird and creepy as J.D. Vance.
Super weird idea from J.D. Vance.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's quite weird.
They're just plain weird.
Just plain weird. Weird.
Just plain weird.
That stuff is weird. They come across weird, and then they start being weird. Yeah, they're weird.
Being ain't really weird.
He's such a weirdo.
Donald Trump and his weirdo running mate are weird. Deeply and profoundly weird.
They are weird.
These Republicans just being weird, it's just weird. It's really weird.
Republican weirdness goes even deeper.
He said a lot of things that are weird. A weird style that he brings. Weird policies.
Let's start with the weird thing, because it is a thing.
Just plain weird.
What was weird was his talking about Diet Mountain Dew. Who drinks Diet Mountain Dew?
You ever seen the guy laugh? That seems very weird to me, that an adult can go through 6.5 years of being in the public eye. If he has laughed, it's at someone, not with someone. That is weird behavior.
Weird and cultish.
These are weird people on the other side.
He kind of doubled down on his weird ideas.
I think weird is probably generous.
Simply weird.
These guys are just plain weird.
Vance as weird?
You know, as the campaign said, weird.
It really is just plain weird.
J.D. Vance, plain weird.
No, I mean, I don't know how else you could read it.
Weird. It is kind of weird.
We're not afraid of weird people.
The other side, they're just weird. Why are you being so weird?
All right, you got a little taste of it, right? It's weird, right? It really is. But that's what they're doing. So they're the talking points have been distributed. By the way, I did a little research. What was the guy said? Who drinks Diet Mountain Dew? Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people, a lot of Americans. According to Pepsi Cola, $1 billion in annual sales just of Diet Mountain Dew. Facts matter with these people. I'm just telling you. By the way, after I had, Dylan, a funny story. After I had my open heart surgery, and I had to have, you know, I've got a mechanical heart valve, and it's got little doors that, you know, let the blood in, let the blood out of my heart. All mechanical. And so anyway, I had not had a soda in forever. Hadn't had a Coke in ages. And so somebody said, would you like some Mountain Dew? And I said, sure. I took a swig of the Mountain Dew, and I could feel the heart valve doing extra rotations. I said, that's it. I'm done. No more for me. So now they're also trying to make him. And by the way, do any of you people out there have a problem with him pointing out that our nation is being run by a bunch of childless cat ladies? Does anybody have a problem with that? So I want to explain, this is a better visual, but people are literally dressing up like cats and going to these Kamala Harris events, like felines, like little pussy cats. They're literal, all over the place. You go into a Kamala Harris rally, and they're going to be a couple of hundred people there. I mean, that's how they max out at these things. And when you look through the crowd, you're going to see, holy cow, I've never seen a bunch of pussy cats. I've never seen anything like that before. So you think I'm kidding you, but we actually have audio of a woman who is literally dressed up like a pussy cat. Cut 18.
I am a childless cat woman, but I'm happy. I'm happy. Bring laughter on. You know?
Need a band.
Yeah, what is your message to bands?
You don't mess with childless cat ladies.
Holy cow. These people are slap crazy nuts. By the way, if I'd been that reporter, I would have backed up a little bit. First of all, you don't know. She could have rabies. You can't take anything for granted these days. And you never know when they're going to cough up a hairball. And nobody wants to be around when that happens. I'm just telling you. So you've got all these cat ladies now showing up at JD Vance. And by the way, they all look the same. Is that not weird? All of the cat ladies, they wear the same kind of, you know, hemp sweaters with the Birkenstocks, a little on the plus size. Their hair is always a mess. I don't want to just paint with a broad brush, but the childless cat lady contingent is a little creepy. So now there's a guy or a gal over at MSDNC, and she's figured J.D. Vance out. She knows she really knows what's going on here, because J.D. Vance is out there and he's basically saying that people need to get out there and they need to get married and they need to have babies. Look, I think that's been a pretty well-respected philosophy since, Adam and Eve. You want to procreate, and it seems to me that this has not been that big of an issue for the longest time, but now all of a sudden it is. So if you want to go out there and you want to have babies and have a lot of babies, then that makes you a racist. Cut number 19.
Haven't found the right partner. And Molly, the stats are there. More and more Americans choosing not to have kids, which again emphasizes why J.D. Vance's comments about childless Americans, childless cat ladies, could be so politically damaging.
Well, so what's interesting is this natalism that comes from an authoritarian playbook, right? That there need to be more white children, right? That's the idea that there's, you know, this is about great replacement theory racism, right? This is what this is. So don't misunderstand it for him wanting more children. He wants a certain kind of, you know, racist thing.
Okay. I have known turds, literal turds, that come out of one's hindquarters that have more brain cells than this moron. Let me explain this to you folks out there in liberal land. She's out there claiming that J.D. Vance wanting more children makes him racist because he wants more white babies. This moron doesn't seem to understand or know that J.D. Vance's wife is Indian American. He has biracial children, you nincompoop. You can't make this stuff up. It's terrible. But by the way, what's wrong with white people having more babies? What's wrong with that? Right? Back in the 1940s and 50s, you Catholics were out there, I don't know, yeah, what, popping out kids all over the place. And then along come the evangelicals. Who is it, the people in Arkansas with 78 children and counting? What was it? The Duggars. Yes, the Duggar. I mean, so what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having a boatload of kids if you're of the Caucasian persuasion? These people, they hate this guy. And you know why they hate this guy? Because he represents what the Democrat Party used to stand for. Working class people from those factory towns. And that's why they think he's weird, because he's a straight man. They think he's weird because he graduated from college. They think he's weird because he's been married to a woman, a biological woman. They think he's weird because he has three kids. That is what is now weird in today's society. That's what they think is weird. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio. This was taken from J.D. Vance. He was in some sort of a closed-door fundraising event, and somebody recorded what he had to say. Let's take a listen to cut number three.
All of us were hit with a little bit of a political sucker punch. The bad news is that Kamala Harris does not have the same baggage as Joe Biden, because whatever we might say, Kamala Harris is a lot younger, and Kamala Harris is obviously not struggling in the same ways that Joe Biden did.
So, again, I have no problem with what J.D. Vance said there. And, it, you know, my understanding is that the campaign was sucker punched, that they did not anticipate Joe Biden pulling out of the race. But going back to Seymour Hersh, who is a far leftist journalist, very well respected far left journalist, and he's reporting from his sources that all of this was orchestrated by Barack Hussein Obama. And Obama told Joe Biden, look, here's the deal, man. And all of this took place after that Nevada fundraiser where he got lost on stage. And Obama told Biden, you're going to do this. You have two choices. You can either announce you will not be running for reelection, or Kamala Harris is going to invoke the 25th Amendment and she is ready to pull that trigger. So basically, Obama put a loaded gun to the head of the president and said, you choose. How do you want to go down? That's Barack Hussein Obama. And Obama thought, again, Obama thought that Biden would just go quietly into the good night. What caught Obama off guard, and this is outside of Seymour Hersh's reporting, what caught Obama off guard is he was not anticipating that Joe Biden was going to turn around and stab him in the back, was going to shiv Obama by announcing that he was endorsing Kamala Harris, who nobody in their right mind thinks is anywhere near qualified to be president of the United States. And now they're all screwed. And if anybody's laughing, it's Joe Biden, if he still knows what day it is. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, I'll be guest hosting on Newsmax. Folks, President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of other Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest-growing cable news channel in America. You can watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also announcing plans to go IPO very soon, And for a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax with a 7% dividend. You can get all of that information over at NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Now, look, before you jump in and buy anything, you should always consult with your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and also for all tax and other risks and obligations. So, again, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. We'll be right back. All right, President Trump posting this message on Truth Social. And this is directed at the FBI and the Secret Service. Trump writing this with a photograph of Director Chris Wray. What did you know and when did you know about it? Read Truth if you want to know who ordered the assassination of Donald J. Trump. Well, there you go. That gives you some insight into the president's thinking here. He believes that somebody tried to off him and that the assassination was ordered. And it wasn't some 20-year-old punk kid who, by the way, as we now know, was some sort of a brilliant computer guy. So there's a lot that we still don't know. And, folks, I don't know about you. We're, what, 3 weeks out, four weeks out from the assassination attempt? And we still don't have any information. Does that make any sense to you at all? Oh, by the way, President Trump doing an interview. This is great. The president talking about Kamala and the laugh. Cut 15.
Now, she's trying to come back. She got rid of the laugh. I noticed I haven't seen that crazy laugh that she got. She's crazy. That laugh, that's the laugh of a crazy person. But I noticed that she's not using that laugh anymore. Somebody convinced her, don't laugh. Just don't laugh. Don't laugh under any circumstances because
I like laughter, but sometimes
not her laughter.
He was on with Laura Ingraham last night. So, look, I want to go back to pommel horse. I'm very excited about this new sport. And the guy everybody's talking about, he's become the face of the Olympics, this great a patriotic American kid from Worcester, Massachusetts. His name is Stephen Nedorisik. And it was quite the performance. Cut 21, please.
Biggest moment of his career.
Got a couple of really difficult elements. First one right here, full spin on one arm. Great. He's got another one right here. Be confident, be aggressive. Oh, that bodes very well for Steven. Just got to stay focused. A little bit of form break, but that's no problem at all. He did take a skill out. He'll lose a few tenths for that.
It's a home run.
Oh, my God.
Good things come to those who wait.
The drought is over. Team USA, they will be on that medal stand.
Wow. You know what I thought was really cool? The whole team there, they're all very careful in spite of all their excitement. They're very careful to respect the American flag, and they're holding on to that American flag. They're making sure the flag doesn't touch the ground. That just tells me all those guys were raised right there on the team. Here is Stephen talking about his performance on the pommel horse. Cut 20.
Take me through what you were feeling as you watched these guys really nail most of their routines during the day before you got on.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing we talk about gymnastics, and it's positive momentum, and these guys did that to the T, especially on vault. You could get goosebumps from watching that back, and going up to pommel horse, last guy up in the whole competition, I had a good feeling that our team was in a great spot. I just knew I had to go up there and do my job. Right here, I was super worried in my routine, and I was like, let's just get it done. Let's go for it, and right here, I was like, if I put this dismount up, Team USA gets a medal. I think you could see it right away when I land. Oh, yeah. Dude, goosebumps right now, man. That's the best moment of my life.
All right. And the guy, it's funny because he like he walks up to the pommel horse and he says, hold my glasses. And he gets up there and he does it. I guess he can't see very well. And then as soon, after it's all over, he's looking for the glasses again. It's just so, the guy was so chill and so excited. He had no idea what had happened either. He asked the guys, what just happened here? They're like, we won. He was like, what? We won? And his parents were there, mom and dad, and everybody was just so excited. You could hear mom saying, that's my boy. That's my boy. And that's the only thing this kid had to do. His piece of the puzzle was to get up there and, well, do whatever they do. They pommel? Dylan, I'm very confused.
It's called pommel horse.
I know it's pommel horse, but do they pommel the pommel? Do they pommel the horse?
It's pommeling.
Is pommeling? Is that the?
I'll look it up.
All right, we got to work on this. All right, hang tight, folks, as we become students of pommel horse. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Very happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. Write down our number if you want to weigh in, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, there's a lot of chaos in the country right now, and a lot of people are just really unsettled at how quickly things can unravel. And we certainly came close to seeing that on, you know, when President Trump was shot in the head. That could have... Well, I don't even want to think about what it could have done. But this country would have been at war, possibly with each other. But chaos, and in the midst of all of this chaos, it's important to always stay prepared, and it's always important to be ready. You need to have supplies on hand, and that's one of the reasons we love our friends at the Wellness Company, because they're all about being prepared. It's not about, you know, freaking out. It's not about panic. It's just common sense things that you need to be doing to prepare yourself in the event things go south. So twc.health/starns is the website. I want you to go to check that out. twc.health/starns. I want to bring in our good friend. He is the chief scientific officer for the Wellness Company, Dr. Peter McCullough. Dr. McCullough, always a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Great to be on with you.
You know, Dr. McCullough, we were talking about the chaos, and especially over these past couple of weeks, President Biden's last-minute decision not to run for re-election. Here's my take and a question for you as a medical doctor. If the man is not mentally or physically able to run for re-election, is he capable of continuing to serve?
In my opinion, he's not. We've had enough time to observe him. I'm a doctor. I observe patients for their neurologic and cognitive function. He's had a slide, I think, ever since the beginning of his term. And he had taken 6 COVID-19 vaccines on top of having 2 brain surgeries, on top of chronic atrial fibrillation and risk for microstrokes and sleep apnea syndrome. All these things converge to progressive neurologic decline. He has features of both Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And you can tell after he's made his decision not to run, he essentially has been out of public view and has not been a functioning president outside of the one time he went on national TV to, you know, make his statement. So there's great concern here that we, in a sense, are already in some type of lame duck situation.
Do you think there's going to be a price to pay? I mean, so many people in the media, so many Democrats within the administration, they've been telling us for years, oh, Biden, he's healthy as a horse, that guy. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, we all could see the decline. We knew it was coming.
People have lost their trust. you know, all those who said Biden had clear command of what was going on, including his doctor, Dr. Kevin O'Connor, was really deceiving the country. You know, even O'Connor's last medical evaluation said he was fit for duty, when in fact, you know, probably under a lot of advice from others, Biden was told he's unfit to run for president. He's unfit to be president right now. It would be up to Harris and the 15 cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment. And, you know, if he doesn't voluntarily step down, I think it'd be the best of all worlds right now if Harris would just become president. And she would have a few months to demonstrate leadership. And if she says she's going to tackle problems, well, she can tackle them right now. And we can see progress in the last few months of this presidency.
We've seen so much chaos and controversy, and a lot of Americans are worried about what's coming next. What's the next shoe to drop? Do you think that we are going to see more chaos as we in the lead up to November?
I do. I'm concerned there'll be additional assassination attempts on Trump. The letdown of the Secret Service and the protection scheme for him appears to be intentional. And, you know, all conclusions are now converging on that, you know, common thread here, that there were simply too many laps to have this all just be innocent mistakes. It's, you know, no secret that many agencies, many within the government, which has become bloated over successive administrations, now, you know, doesn't want to see Trump return to the presidency. I think we're in grave danger of yet another government manufactured crisis, in this case, bird flu, this bird flu crisis. There aren't any large numbers of sick birds, no significant serious human cases. And yet our Secretary Becerra in the last few days just evoked emergency authorization and powers for bird flu vaccines.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today is Dr. Peter McCullough, the Chief Scientific Officer for the Wellness Company. You know, Dr. McCullough, I remember the day that I learned, like many other Americans learned, that most of the ingredients for our medicines are coming from places like China. And I remember the immediate surge of concern that went through my mind. What happens if China decides they're going to cut off those supplies? And that's, you know, when I learned about the great work, what you guys are doing. I have my emergency wellness kit. You know, I've had to dip into it once when we had a medical shortage, a medicine shortage here in the Memphis area. And I was very fortunate that all I had to do was open up my kit. I brought it with me to the doctor, Dr. McCullough, and I said, well, will any of these medicines work? And he was like, holy cow, where did you get that? So, again, I'm a huge fan and a supporter and user of the Wellness Company's emergency medical kits. Why would you recommend people go out and get one?
You know, just as you said, we just never know when you're going to need it. We went on a trip recently. I brought the kit. I was literally joking with my group. You know, I'm just bringing the kit. That, well, we needed it, you know, on a national park trip. So, you know, medical things come up. The kits are very affordable. The medications and the user guide kit, the access to telemedicine can guide you through a whole variety of problems. I've been to the Wellness Company Pharmacy in Florida. So we have a secure line for the pharmaceuticals, and now there's a replenishment. So if you use one of the bottles, which we did, we can just now call in for a replenishment. We'll get a replacement bottle for that component of the kit. So home medical kits are, I think, here to stay. And virtually every family, people traveling, people have home medical kits because they know there's enough medical sophistication. They can use these kits, the user guide, telemedicine if needed, and then avoid expensive ER or urgent care visits.
Well, it's and folks, again, this is why you need to go check it out over at twc.health/Starnes. Use my promo code Starnes, and you're going to save 10%. But I have them. I travel with them. And folks, you never know when you might need them. And I did. And I was very glad I had it on hand. Dr. McCullough, we're going to have to leave it there. But we always appreciate all of your great insight, your great information.
Thank you.
All right. There you go, Dr. Peter McCullough. And by the way, the medical kits are pretty small. They're like the size of maybe just a large like bag that you would put all your travel, you know, your personal items in, like the shaving cream and the toothpaste and all that kind of stuff. And you just plop it right there in the suitcase. But had a bad case of the Memphis crud a couple of years ago, and everybody was running out of the medicines at the pharmacies. And, of course, now you've got all the with the Walgreens and CVS, they're closing stores, and it's just hard to find. Some of you may not even have a drugstore in your area, which is, again, why I utilize the wellness company, twc.health/darns. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Don't forget, 8 o'clock Eastern tonight, I'm guest hosting on Prime News. Bill O'Reilly is kicking things off. It's going to be a fun conversation. Want to go right now, though, to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to Congressman Dave Joyce from Ohio's 14th Congressional District. And the congressman making headlines, he has been selected for that bipartisan House task force. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Thanks very much for having me, Todd.
Congressman, what concerns you about what we know thus far about the attempted assassination of President Trump?
Well, you know, the most important thing, I think, is for us to get realistic feedback to the American people on why this was allowed to happen. I mean, it's just hard for me that this heinous act of violence, which is an attack on our democracy, should have occurred. You know, when I was listening to the hearing today in the Senate, and the acting director now has given us a little more information than certainly the director did before, but it's all bad info. The fact that there wasn't a uniform platform on which the local law enforcement and the Secret Service could chat during the course of the day, that's crazy. I mean, I thought we eliminated that after 9/11. We really the idea that they didn't have a walkthrough on Friday, so they would coordinate with local law enforcement every detail, so you know where everybody's supposed to be. That again to me is crazy. So I really don't understand how we could have let it go this far out of line. But we need every corner of Congress to investigate this, because we can't have massive security failures like this. Moreover, this is a group that cannot have one failure.
Not at all. And Congressman, hate to ask this question, but I think, you know, based on all the information we have now, will you guys be looking at whether or not this may have been some sort of an inside job?
Well, you know, we'll look at every aspect of it. I was just saying, I got off the phone a little while ago with Michael Kelly, who was appointed the chief of the, or to oversee this, a chair of this committee. And I know that, you know, we talked about, where do you start? And I gave him my thoughts on starting, and I think it's important that we get down to the bottom of this and figure out how somebody like this could have had the ability to operate a drone over the area where President Trump was coming in, to have the ability to stand there with a rangefinder, the ability to walk around where local law enforcement knew that this guy was suspicious, if you will, and why he didn't have somebody on him like white on rice. I just don't get it, Todd.
What I don't get is you've got the deputy FBI director testifying up on Capitol Hill today, says, oh, yeah, we've known that the Iranians have been trying to assassinate Trump. Well, if that's the case, then why in the world did we not have Secret Service protection out the wazoo in Butler County, PA?
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing is, if they knew they had an issue like that and they knew they were, say, undermanned, that they had to count on local law enforcement to do that. President Trump's a pretty reasonable man. I mean, if they sit down, he obviously is still entitled to his briefings, and if they would have let him know the legitimacy of the potential threats against him, he could have moved it indoors to a high school. I'm sure he didn't want to deny his fans, but, you know, it's one of those things where he should at least have been brought in on the process to understand the threats against him and the nature of the activity out there in an open field, and the fact that you can't protect 360 in that type of setting.
All right, so the Republican side's been named. When do you guys anticipate getting the full committee together and getting down to business?
Well, that's sort of what Mike was going over today, trying to get a handle on, since we're not in session, how to accommodate everybody. I'm sure we'll be doing some hiring. You've got to get some staff in place to help run down some of these things for us, because we're all back in our districts doing what we're supposed to be doing, taking care of constituents. So the sooner the better, as I told Mike, and I'm just over in Ohio, just not too far. I can drive over to Butler with no problem. Some of these other folks will have to come longer distances, but I think it would be important to have the walkthrough with the people who are in charge that day, and then follow through with some folks who might be more experienced, who have been there to Secret Service in the past, to give you an overlay of, this is what happened, this is what should have happened, this is how we normally would prep a situation like this. So we'd at least have a starting basis on which to make our analysis.
All right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you coming on, giving us a lowdown of what you can tell us. I know hopefully the task force is going to get to the bottom of all of this, and we just have to make sure this never happens again.
Absolutely, sir.
All right. Well, Congressman, thank you again. Congressman Dave Joyce from Ohio's 14th Congressional District, and he will be serving on that bipartisan House task force. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. How you doing this afternoon?
Good, good. What's happening?
Todd, Todd, overheard somebody say not long ago that there's decades when nothing happens, and then there's years where decades happen. And when you look at everything that has transpired politically since 2023, it is just mind-blowing as it relates to Donald Trump and what's going on leading up to this election. I mean, we've seen them try to bankrupt him, throw him in jail, kick him off the ballot. We saw what they did in 2020 with the 51 intel agents, the Hunter Biden laptop. Now we've seen the collusion between the media and the Democratic Party to hide Joe Biden from the public about the truth of his physical and mental condition. And now you've got political assassination with Donald Trump. And this is all, in my opinion, been perpetrated by the Democrats. But I think that unless their leadership walks this back, that we could potentially be seeing some type of armed conflict after the election. They need to have an open primary process, not select the nominee. They need to encourage legal voting and only legal ballots being counted and transparency, because they are putting our country in the same position that they did in 1860 after Lincoln was elected.
Well, it's a fascinating now that is an interesting comparison, and we're leading up to something, and you can sort of feel it, can't you, Charles, that this is not, all of this is not happening just coincidentally, that they are moving us to a time and a position where something is going to happen in this country, a conflation point.
Exactly, and that's the way I feel. And just like 1860, after Lincoln's election, several southern states couldn't handle it. So rather than giving Lincoln a chance, they just tried secession, and because they couldn't live with the outcome. And it's the same thing now. This all goes back to where they could not live with the outcome of the 2016 election. And ever since then, it has just been one thing after another to undermine Donald Trump. But, Todd, one other thing.
Real quick.
Your opinion. I do not think Donald Trump should debate Kamala Harris. And I'll tell you why if you got time, but go ahead and tell me what you think.
No, well, we're running out of time. That's why. So, real quick, why do you think that's the right pick?
Because she hasn't earned it. When you play in a championship game, you have to beat teams. You have to win.
Okay.
You have to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Charles, got to run. Appreciate that. Again, folks, our number 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Congressman Ben Klein. And again, don't forget, 8 o'clock Eastern tonight, you'll be able to watch me guest hosting on Newsmax. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right, don't forget to head over to the website as well. We have some great, great stuff for you to check out there. Not just awesome stories, but also our free podcast and our free newsletter. And get yourself a Blessed Not Bitter coffee mug while you're at it. All right, we'll be right back.